not type in, write down Mark 16:16. Okay? Like I'm doing it right now. Mark 16:16, almost like an equal argument that salvation requires water baptism, which you and I know it does not. Amen? It does not. But where does all of that false doctrine come from? The failure to rightly divide the word. Okay? That's why in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in part, I'm a part of this big mess, this big doctrinal mess. I think every Baptist preacher is somewhat a part of the cause of this big doctrinal mess of when it comes to baptism, okay? Because we don't teach this. At least we don't teach it enough. We don't teach what we don't understand, right? Amen. Let's move on. Verse 13. So when you look at verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, for by one spirit are we all... It's like a verbatim. Are we all baptized into one body? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. So we've talked, go to Galatians 3:28. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Galatians 3:28, Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ, he says. Remember that the composition of a church before salvation, there are three kinds of people, or two or three, right? Before salvation, you're either a Jew or a Gentile. That's it. Those are the only two races, really. You know, under the Gentiles, you could be a Greek, right? Or the term heathen, right? After you get saved, after the salvation, once you go through the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither Greek nor... You know what you have here now? A Christian. Or a believer. That's it. There's no more distinction. There's no more racial distinction. Or nationality. Or there's none of that. Once you go through the cross in Christ. Okay? So, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. The exact same wording as Galatians 3:28. And have been all made to drink. Oof. The Roman Catholic sacrament, they see that word to drink and they they jump up and down like Zifron was jumping up and down behind that piano. And they say, well, you see, we're allowed to drink, right? We're all made to drink. And so what does the Roman Catholic teach when it comes to that chalice, when you partake of it? You are drinking the literal blood of Christ. And I have some alcohol in the back, and if you can get drunk with me, and we all become a member of the body of Christ, right? Through that sacrament of the Eucharist, they say, "Well, we've all been made to drink." No. What kind of drinking are we talking about there? We've looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Can I remind you? Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What kind of drink is it talking about? Look at verse 4. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of that same spiritual... They're no same, but for that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The illustration was the event in Exodus When God allowed water to come out of the rock, that was a picture, a type of what, how he would operate in the local church. That spiritual drink is, and that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. The drink that he's talking about is eternal life. Okay? That water that comes out is, it's eternal life and joy in the Christian life. And it's found nowhere but that spiritual rock. Just like the rock that Moses, or that Moses, right, struck. That rock was Christ, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So in chapter 12, verse 13, when he says, "And have all have been all made to drink," the drink that he's talking about there is not a literal alcohol or fermented wine or grape juice. He's talking about spiritually. Notice it says, "Made to drink into one spirit." For the body, in verse 14 now, 1 Corinthians 12, 14, for the body is not one member, but many. We've seen that in Romans chapter 12. Now, from here on out, in verses 15 to 18, he goes off on usurping others' gifts and how we operate amongst other believers in and outside of the church. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many." And so, if I was Ziphron or Zephiah, right, I will draw a person, kind of like they did earlier, but I am such a bad drawer, so, but I would put a head, don't make fun of me, kids, okay? A stick with his legs and his feet and his arms, right? That's the body of Christ. Think of that as the body of Christ. Now, the Bible says, if the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand," are you with me? Like chicken hands right there, chicken feet, right? If the foot shall say, "I'm not the hand, am I therefore not of the body?" If the ear, put some ear here. If the ear, and I said, "Pastor, it's kind of absurd that you're doing that." Well, just listen. Okay? Okay? That's his tongue. Okay? I know, it looks like a lizard, huh? Let's put a circle on that tongue before you start. Hey, there's a message there. Look what the Bible says. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye," what is that saying? Am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, whoa. If this entire body is an eye, just the eye, just one eye, right? Imagine an entire body comprised of just one eye. You're thinking, well, that's an alien, right? Yes. There, you can't have that. You can't have that. A foot. Imagine the entire body of Christ comprised of a foot with his ingrown toenails. Right? Is the rest therefore not of the body? What if the whole thing is made of an ear? Right? That's what the Bible says. Imagine if it's an ear. Right? And you say, well, that can't be. You can't have that as the body. The Bible says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole, where were hearing? Where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now, had God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it had pleased him. Are you with me? You tie that in with what we just learned about the gifts. The gifts to the church and the gifts to individual believers. That's what he's talking about. He's using an illustration of the lesson on the gifts. He's using the human body for them to understand. He's saying, though some of you have the gift of prophecy, don't try to be the foot. Some of you have the gift of teaching, don't try to be the eye. Are you following me now? See what Paul is saying here? Some members of the church, they're like an eye. They're there for a purpose. Some church members, they're there for an ear. They're there for a purpose. Some members of the church are like the feet of the church. They're there for a purpose. You can't have one part of the body enlarged to the point that it's the only thing that you see in that body. Amen. Are you following me? You can't have, if you're the tongue, if you're the mouth, right? And the entire body is filled up with that one mouth, you're going to say, that's a loud church. Or even worse, that's a loud church member. Right? Amen. Is there preaching here? Amen? So first of all, Paul is saying, if you are a member, God has set you there for a purpose, and God has set you specifically for what God has called you to do. Now he says, as it had pleased him, and God had set the members, every one of them, in the body. Point number one, not a single body part can take over the entire body, can be the preeminent entity in that entire body. Two, the ear cannot be the eye cannot be the ear, and vice versa. You apply that to the local church, you know what you'll find? You'll avoid problems. Amen? Find the gift that God has given you, find the calling that God has called you to do, and use it for God's glory in the church where God has called you to be a part of. Amen? Don't try to usurp somebody else's gift. One of the things that's difficult to do is to have, for example, to have two pastors. Okay. To have too many chiefs, not enough Indians. They say, right? If everybody's a chief. Who's right? But if there is no chief, everybody's an Indian. That's wrong too. Things are going to go wrong too. But what is it that God had called you to do in the church? What is God's calling for you? What is God's gift for you? Take that gift and use it for the body of Christ. Don't augment it any bigger than it is. Amen? And don't try to take somebody else's gift. And then finally, let me warn you, there was a parable. It's called the parable of the talents. Remember that? The parable of the talents. One was given one, other one was given five, the other one was given 10. The one that was given 10 talents, he got 10 more. Right? The other one that was given five, he got 5 more. And then the one that just got one, he said, no, I only got one. He got 10, she got 5. I'm going to keep my one. Keep it in my pocket. Dig a hole. Bury it under the ground. You know what God said to that one servant? Who buried that one talent, that one gift that God had given him? Oh, you are a wicked servant. Because I entrusted you with something. I blessed you with something. For you to use it for my ministry. And yet you kept it for yourself. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I don't know how you spoke to someone today, but I hope that you that I was able to edify this local body of Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you encourage each one of us today, teach us, and mold us into becoming more and more like you. Help us to take the talents that you've given us, the gifts that you've given us, apply it to the church willingly and not of necessity for the furtherance of your gospel. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this lesson from 1 Corinthians. The altar is open if you need to come. Thank God and praise God and ask God to continue to bless our church for the up-and-coming months and up-and-coming years and maybe even decades according to his will. The altar is open. It's a piano place. If you need to come, the altar is open. Sing that verse. What number is that, Israel? 540? 540. Let's sing one verse. Sing verse 1. Roger, can you lift up your voice and close us in prayer, please? Brother Roger.